A Very French Wedding by Maeve Harron. Read by Karen Cass. Chapter 1.
Oh, shit! Wailed Stephanie to her husband. That was Meredith, and she wants to come and stay with us. For 2 whole weeks.
David looked at his wife curiously.
Meredith Harding, your old school friend. Isn't that good? Because, one, we're running a B&B, and two, I thought she was a great friend of yours.
She is one of my oldest. But, David, they call Meredith the Queen of the East. She's used to staying in 5-star hotels, or even 7-star hotels if there are any. We're much too humble for her. I mean, the thought of all the guests dining together at one table, she'd have a fit.
Then you'll have to explain that the idea of the chambre d'hôte is all about people getting to know each other,
David replied calmly.
Anyway, what makes her so grand? You're making her sound like Cleopatra and Madame Mao rolled into one.
She works in some incomprehensible, high-powered job in finance. She's always moving from Hong Kong to Singapore to Shanghai, making vast amounts of money, so I hardly ever get to see her. That's why it's so great that she's coming here.
And what brings her?
David asked, intrigued by the prospect of meeting this dazzling-sounding person.
I don't know. I expect she'll tell us when she gets here.
And when's that?
Steph and David had opened their B&B in France 10 years earlier. Since it was only March and the season hadn't really started yet, they had plenty of room.
Do you want me to get something special from the butcher? Asked David. I imagine you'll want to kill the fatted calf.
Absolutely. I'll get down my recipe book. Did you pick up the croissants?
Of course I picked up the croissants,
he replied patiently.
As we have discovered, fresh croissants are part of the fantasy of staying in France, and people get pissed off if you try and palm them off with French bread, no matter how delicious.
It was this same fantasy that had lured Steph and David here themselves. No other country seemed to have quite the same alluring effect on the British mind as France. That, and their love of this particular landscape in the southwest, with its clear, shining rivers, so clear that people actually swam in them, unlike their British equivalents, and its rich sprinkling of chateaus for their guests to explore on day trips, not to mention its lush farmland, deep gorges, and gentle rows of vines. They had been here on countless holidays and utterly lost their hearts to the place. So, when they'd decided to finally take the plunge and buy somewhere to turn into a B&B, it had to be round here. They had found a handsome maison de maître, a solid stone house, more practical than a crumbling chateau, but with oodles of charm. In order to do it up, they had enlisted the help of Steve, a local builder, beloved of his fellow expats because he seemed to be able to do his work efficiently without speaking any French. He managed this, simply by pointing, gesticulating, and having a way about him that the suppliers seemed to regard as engagingly roast beef, eating roast beef being, obviously, the most defining of British characteristics. Over 3 years, trying not to get discouraged by rising damp or sudden holes in the walls or floorboards so riddled with damp rot that David had almost fallen through, they had prepared 6 bedrooms, each with the essential ensuite bathroom no tourist could live without, put in a swimming pool, and got ready to open just as their money was about to run out. The life suited them both. Steph loved to cook, and David was the most sociable of beings, happy to host the large shared table that was the big feature of the chambre d'hôte, where all the guests got to meet each other. The only drawback was the grinding tiredness that sometimes enveloped them both as a result of the constant shopping, cooking, and bedmaking. Steph finished laying the table and putting out the pretty pots of homemade jams, another must at a chambre d'hôte, the fruit salad and the cold meats.
Madame, s'il vous plaît, called a voice from the staircase.
Oh my God, Steph muttered, it's that Belgian family again.
A large family called Lebrun had recently arrived, trying to pack extra children into their bedroom and constantly demanding assistance of one sort or another.